Man, how many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Doesn't it feel good to be in His presence? Doesn't it feel good to be in His presence? Amen. Amen. And there's a lot of places we could be on a Sunday morning. In fact, there's a lot of people that should be here today, perhaps. They may be out fishing, baiting a hook right now. There's people that are just in a myriad of different places. But I'm glad to be with people today that have made the right choice to come together with one another into the house of the Lord to feel what we're feeling today. The thing about being in this place is there's no telling what can happen over the next few moments, no telling what has already occurred. And I am so privileged and honored to be here with you today. And I love what I feel in this place, and give honor to all of our guests. God bless you. And you've made our day by being here. Amen. And it's so good to be here with this great church. I've heard so much good about this church. And my dad brags on it all the time, and brags on the Suttons. And we know brother and sister Sutton, but I'm getting to meet the rest of the crew, and I've heard some good stories about them. Amen. And I'm looking forward to the today and to getting acquainted with them and then with you. And just to see what the Lord is going to do today. I feel Him in this place. I feel like He's here to do something beautiful. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. And actually, I may read a verse from Galatians 1 prior to that. And then also I'm going to read one verse or two verses from Psalm 48. I don't usually use multiple texts, but we will today. Galatians chapter 1, and then we'll go to Galatians 2. Just kind of skip over there and then over to Psalm 48. Amen, amen. Appreciate so much, Brother Sutton, and the blessing that he's been to our local church there in Southern California. And I mean that sincerely, but what a tremendous, tremendous blessing they have been to us. Amen. Galatians chapter 1, I want to read first in verse number 18. This is Paul giving a brief autobiographical sketch of some of his early days right after his Damascus Road experience. In verse 18, Paul says, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem." Everybody say, "Up to Jerusalem." "To see Peter and abode with him 15 days. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 1, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem." Somebody say, "Up again to Jerusalem." "With Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation." How many know when you go to Jerusalem, to the house of God, that you're going up? And you're going up by revelation. Amen. I want to read also in the book of Psalms, or Psalm 48, beginning with verse number 1, familiar portion of Scripture. It says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Beautiful for situation. Anybody know that the house of God is beautiful for situation? "The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King." I want to read that verse number 2, in another version, the NIV, when it says it's beautiful for situation. The NIV says, "It is beautiful in its loftiness." It is beautiful in its loftiness. "It is the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great King." Amen. Today I want to preach for a little while, going up to Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem. And again, is anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Anybody feel like you've come up to a high place today? Amen. Amen. Why don't we pray together? Let's bow our heads, lift our hearts with our hands. Let's talk to Him together. God, we love You. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the beautiful touch of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place. And God, today we ask that you would move in a beautiful way, in a sweet way, in a precious way today. Touch your people. And we love you and we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody before you're seated. Tell them it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice, and I'm going to take a few minutes to drive this point home, the fact that the Bible always refers to a trip to Jerusalem as going up or ascending. And when you read through your Bible, anytime you leave Jerusalem, it is referred to as a descent, as going down. You're moving from a high place to a lower place. And I want to take a few minutes to establish that, and I beg your clemency as I go into this. But when the Bible talks about going up to Jerusalem, you can read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, where it speaks of Jesus and his disciples, I believe, going up to Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, again, it says they go up to Jerusalem. In Mark 10 and 32, they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. In Mark 10 and 33, the Bible says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." In Mark 15 and 41, many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 42, when he was 12 years old, this is when Jesus was a child, they went up to Jerusalem. In Luke 18 and 31, "Then took he unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." In John chapter 2, verse 13, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In John chapter 5, verse 1, Jesus again went up to Jerusalem. In John 11 and 55, many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover. And I could read on and on, but I want you to, the reason I'm taking the time for this, I want to drive home the point that when the Bible talks about going to Jerusalem, it always refers to moving up, to ascending, to going from a lower place to a higher place. There's a minimum of 21 times at the very least where the Bible refers to a trip to Jerusalem as going up in the world. And the opposite of this is true as well. Again, when you leave Jerusalem, the Bible always refers to it as going down. You are going down. You're losing ground. And Mark 3 and 22 says the scribes which came down from Jerusalem. In Luke 10 and 30, Jesus answering said, "A certain man which went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." In Acts 8, 26, Acts 24 and 1, Acts 25 and 7, and others refers to any trip from Jerusalem to any place else in the world as going down in the world. And I took the time to do that, but I because I want you to understand this is not just some kind of scripture I pulled at random from your Bible. And I want you to understand that this, the significance of this is in part due to the elevation of Jerusalem. It is in some ways a high place, not necessarily a super high place, but it's somewhere around 2,500 feet above sea level. But there are other places that are higher than Jerusalem. Mount Olivet in Jerusalem is 2,700 feet, and Bethlehem has hills that are 2,700 feet, and Hebron has elevations that are 3,000 feet. But any time you talk about going to Jerusalem, the Bible says that you are going up to Jerusalem. And any time you leave Jerusalem and go anywhere else, it doesn't matter where you go. You can go to Hebron or Bethlehem. But the Bible says when you go there, you are going down. You are losing ground. And I read one Bible commentator. He said this was the usual language in describing a journey to Jerusalem. Kind of like the people from England, when they speak of going up to London, it's not because of its elevation. It's because it is the capital of their country. And the significance of Jerusalem, it's not based on how high it is. It is based on spiritual significance. It's based on the stuff that happens there. Is there anybody that's glad that you're in a place today where good stuff happens, where significant stuff happens. In fact, can I ask, is there anybody that remembers when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Chances are you were in an apostolic tongue talking Jesus name church when God brought you up in the world. The Bible says of Jerusalem, and I'm taking my time here before we get to where we want to go. The Bible says that it was at Jerusalem that in Mount Moriah, which is a part of this place where the temple would be in Jerusalem, where Abraham, this is history that the scribes and the rabbis believe that Abraham there offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And they also believe that Cain and Abel offered their sacrifice there. I don't know about that last one. It's hard to validate necessarily in scripture, but certainly Abraham did offer Isaac there in Moriah. And it was at the threshing floor of a man that where fire fell in David's day, where the temple was going to be built later by Solomon. And Jerusalem has significance. Jerusalem is the place, of course, where Jesus would die on a cross. And it's the place where Jesus would go to Calvary. And it's the place that Jesus would endure the crucifixion. Jerusalem was the birthplace of the church. It was in Acts chapter 2 where the Bible said prophetically in Luke 24 that Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem. And he told them, he said, listen guys, the reason I died, the reason all this stuff was written, it happened so that you would go to Jerusalem. Somebody shout Jerusalem. And that among all nations in Jerusalem, you would preach the message of repentance. Somebody say repentance. And remission of sins would be preached in his name. What's his name today? In the name of Jesus, it would be done at Jerusalem. And thank God they were obedient. These disciples, they that were standing that day when Jesus ascended up into the heavens, they didn't stay there. They obeyed and they took a trip up to Jerusalem. And we all know Acts 2 where it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Can I tell you that one place was Jerusalem? And the reason they were there was a feast of Pentecost. And the Bible says that as they sat in that place, and that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I'm gonna tell you, not everything that happens suddenly is bad. God can do good stuff suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Oh, I want to see that happen in this place today. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And fire began to move in that room in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden they were filled. Somebody shout, filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And you know the story. This began to get noisy. It was noised abroad. And I'll just stop and tell you, if this is a little different to you today, if you're not used to people getting noisy when they go to church, this is how it's always been at Jerusalem. It got noisy there, and to the point where there was a couple of different reactions. Some people looked at them and said, this is marvelous. This is amazing. What's going on? They were interested. But the other reaction was, these people are full of new wine. That's Bible terminology. That's KJV for these people are drunk. And can I tell you, you don't think somebody's drunk because they're sitting there looking like a banker. They're sitting there doing their laundry list. You know what they were doing? They were acting like a bunch of you were acting this morning. And they said, these people, they've got something. I don't know what it is, but I've never been to a church where they acted like this. And I'm going to tell you, that's what happens when you get to Jerusalem. And the Bible says that on that day that Peter stood up and he said, listen, I don't have a problem with these questions. I don't have a problem with you being amazed. In fact, I don't even have a problem with you making a little bit of fun. Let me preach to you what this is about. And it was at Jerusalem. The Bible says that Peter stood up, and he stood up with the apostles. I mean, it was a group effort, but he was the spokesman for Jesus, and he began to preach to them the message. He began to preach to them the gospel. He began to tell them that when you took Jesus and you crucified him, you weren't just doing it to some good teacher, some kind of good man, some kind of prophet or preacher, but when you took him, you took the Lord that was Christ, and you crucified and nailed him to a tree. Can I tell you that repentance and that conviction has always been a part of an apostolic church? In fact, as I'm preaching today, I'm going to just tell you, it ought to be part of the church. In fact, the reason you're feeling that stirring in your spirit is because what we're having today is something that happened all the way back in Jerusalem, and convictions in this place. And there's something stirring in your spirit that is coming from God. I'm going to tell you, that is the way it ought to be. Amen, amen. And so in Acts 2 and 37, I'm just kind of laying the groundwork here. The Bible says that they felt something in their spirit. And Brother Colin, they felt it stirring in their heart. And they said, at Jerusalem, what shall we do? And the Bible says, I like this part. Peter that was there when Jesus told him what to say and when Jesus told him to go to Jerusalem. Peter doesn't stutter or stammer. He knows what to say. Peter with the keys to the kingdom, he stands up and he begins to say at Jerusalem, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm kind of moving slow, but it's because I want you to marinate in Jerusalem. I want you to feel the original experience at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was powerful. Jerusalem was glorious. At Jerusalem, there was conviction. At Jerusalem, there was supernatural power. There was fire and there was wind and there was Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. At Jerusalem, they preached repentance. At Jerusalem, they preached baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've come to tell you, that's why your Bible, whenever it talks about somebody getting up and taking a journey and going to Jerusalem, the Bible always without fail, invariably says when you go to Jerusalem, you're going up. You're taking a trip up. You're moving up in the world. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your occupation, who your mom and daddy is, what your aunt taught you or your uncle told you. When you go to Jerusalem, you're going to take a trip up in the world. Now, hallelujah, I just want to preach now. I want to preach to somebody. I love coming to the house of God. I love coming to Jerusalem. In fact, you can be seated. I'm going to tell you, all the good things that have happened to me in life happened at Jerusalem. I'm talking about spiritual Jerusalem. All the good things that happened to me happened when I went to the house of God. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Is there anybody that remembers when you repented of your sins? Oh, hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you, that may have happened in your car. It may have happened at home. But wherever it was, that was a Jerusalem experience. Probably for the vast majority of us, we remember when we found an altar and we fell to our knees and tears went down our face and we began to say, God, forgive me. You know what you were doing? You were getting up from wherever you were at and you were packing your suitcase and you were moving up in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody remember when you were baptized in Jesus' name? I was 6 years old when I was baptized. I had gotten the Holy Ghost just a few minutes before, and I knew I needed to be baptized. And I went down in water. I'll never forget the feeling. And I came out of that water with my hands lifted. And the load at 6 years old, that I'm telling you, it was not psychosomatic. It wasn't some kind of mind game. I'm telling you, when I came out of that water, I felt better. I felt different. I felt light because God had washed my sins away. I'm telling you, that's a Jerusalem experience. That's a Jerusalem experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I be so bold as to tell somebody today, if you've never taken that trip, it's time for somebody to come up in the world. I'm not here to demean any experience you've had. I'm not here to take away from your repentance. I'm not here to take away from you believing on Jesus. You gotta believe on Jesus. But I've also come to tell you, there's an experience that is a Jerusalem experience. It's not a man-made deal. It's not something somebody put together in a council, but it's in your Bible. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Oh, you know what I'd like to see today? I'd like to see somebody come up a little bit higher. You know what I'd like to see today? I'd like to see somebody leave where you're at and come up to Jerusalem. Oh, clap your hands and thank God today. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Anybody glad you've come to Jerusalem? Amen, you can be seated. Amen, amen. Jerusalem is above. Somebody say it's above. It's always referred to as higher. It's not just about how high it is in elevation. It's not about how nice it is. Can I tell you, this is a great church. This is a beautiful church. When I pulled on the property, I was like, look at that. That's beautiful what God has done here in Birmingham. But can I tell you, there is probably nicer churches somewhere in town. But brother and sister, when you came into this property, you moved up in the world. Because it's not about how nice the carpet is, and it's very nice. It's not about how nice the instruments are, and they're very nice. It's not about the heating and the cooling, and that's very nice. I'm all for it. Praise God. Anybody thank God for AC? Yeah. If anybody ought to get a free pass to heaven, it's the dude that invented air conditioning. And you from Alabama ought to shout on that one. Hallelujah. We're all give him a pass, Lord. But let me tell you today, Jerusalem is not about how nice it is. It's not about the carpet. It's not about how it looks. It's about the doctrine and the revelation. It's about what God is doing in this place. Jerusalem's not about going up because of the climate. It's not about going up because of the population. I love what I see in this place today, all the people that are here. But there may be churches that have got more people. Let me tell you something today. When you came to this place, you moved up in the world because this doctrine is the Jerusalem doctrine that is preached in this place. Amen, amen. Jerusalem is not about the secular significance. It's not about the social standing. It's not about going north from south. It's not about going east from west. It's not about how you got here. I'm just preaching today. The reason this is higher, it's because it's Jerusalem. It's where Jesus poured out his spirit. It's where the Holy Ghost came. Amen. Now I'm going to preach. I don't know all of you today. I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know where you came from. I don't know your backgrounds. There may be people here today that came kind of from a different religious persuasion. You may have come from a different, there may be people here that are atheists. You're just here because somebody twisted your arm enough. They finally got you here. You're just kind of looking around thinking these people are nuts. Can I tell you, if you come from a persuasion that believes there is no God, you have taken a step up in the world today. If you're here today and you don't know what to believe, you're agnostic in your thinking, I've come to tell you, you're moving up in the world by setting feet in this place today. If you come from some kind of Eastern religion like Hinduism or Buddhism or Confucianism or Taoism or whatever, I'm telling you, by embracing this doctrine, you are moving up in the world today. If you come from Islam, you're moving up in the world today. If you come from Protestant or Catholic, whatever your background, whatever brand or flavor or type of doctrine you come from, I've just come to preach on a Sunday morning that when you stepped into this place, you stepped into a place that preaches it like they did on the day of Pentecost. We still believe in God doing a sudden work. We still believed in the wind of the Spirit. Is there anybody that believes that the fire can fall? Is there anybody that can still wave your hand and testify that I was filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, I want to say that again. Is anybody full of the Holy Ghost today? Amen. Is there anybody just sloppy, drunk, full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. That's what you've been looking for. You don't want to go to some church where they don't got the real deal. You want to come where it's full of the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues. Amen. When you go to Pentecost, you can be seated. I'm going to just talk to you. When you go to Pentecost, there ought to be a part of you that says this is different. They did on Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. When you come to the house of God, there ought to be a part of you that says, my God, what in the world is going on? Now listen, we know how to sit down and listen to the teaching of the word. This church is a word-based church. But I'm going to tell you, part of Pentecost has always been the moving of the Holy Ghost, to where people look around and say, what meaneth this? And other people say, these people are drunk, because this is a Jerusalem experience. You want to know why we run the aisles and dance and clap our hands? It's because God has brought us back to the original. We've moved up in the world today. We came to a higher place and we're excited about being here. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say, going up to Jerusalem. Amen. I think about Sister Jody in our church back home. Brother Sutton, she was 13 years old when she ran away from home and went to Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. This is the height of the hippie era. And if you know anything about that area, it's drugs and just crazy people. It's a crazy part of the world, and especially during that time, during those 60s years. And she was 13 years old in that world and exposed to so much stuff, ran away from home. But one day somebody invited her to a church. She came into that church, and when she got into that church, people were acting a lot like you guys were acting today. Before long, Jody began to look around. She began to see what was happening. But there was something in that 13-year-old, or however old she was at that time, that said, I want something more than what I've been experiencing. And before long, they began to preach to her repentance. And she repented of her sins, and she began to move up in her world. And they preached to her baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and she was baptized, and she moved up in the world. And they told her that you can get God's Spirit, you can receive it, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. And you'll know you got it. You won't have to wonder if you got it. You'll have it the same way they got it in the beginning at Jerusalem, and you'll talk in other tongues. And she lifted her hands, and God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and she moved up in the world. I'm gonna just tell somebody today, don't be content with anything less than Jerusalem. I think about Marie Galloway. You can be seated back home. She was playing or singing in a bar. She's got a beautiful voice. And her husband was playing the drums in a bar. That's how they met and got married. And God began to stir their heart, though. And before long, they began to go to a church. It was an hour and a half, one-way drive. And they would go to that church. And she began to fast and pray. She wanted more of God. She was not satisfied with her life. She didn't want just some kind of half measure. She didn't want to be cheated by some kind of man's doctrine. She knew there was more. There's got to be an experience with God. There's got to be something real. There's got to be something life-changing. She said, there's got to be something better. And are you here today saying that? I'm going to preach to you there's something better. And oh, God got a hold of that woman. You know what he did? He sent a Pentecostal apostolic preacher to her house to fix, I think it was her air conditioning or something was broke down. And he was doing that work at the time. He came in the house, and before long, she was singing and playing some kind of Christian song. And he said, "My goodness, that's beautiful. Do you?" And they began to talk, and she began to tell him about her hunger. Tell him about how desirous she was for more. And he began to tell her, "Ma'am, listen to me, Marie. There's more than this. You can go higher. You need to go all the way back to Jerusalem, to the highest revelation there is." And she went to that church. It was a little bitty, brand new home missions church in a strip mall in Highland, California. And she went down and repented and said, "I'm sorry, God." And she moved up in the world. And then they took her to a baptismal tank. And she got baptized like they did on the day of Pentecost in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And then she lifted her hands. I hope you're not getting bored with this. This is Jerusalem. And she began to speak in other tongues as God filled her with a gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you something about Marie Galloway. She wouldn't go back. She wouldn't go down for $1 million because God brought her up. God brought her to where she was looking. God brought her to the place that she desired with all of her heart. And I'm preaching to somebody today. It's time for you to go up in the world. Amen. I think about Bob, Brother Bob, back home, and I'm getting close to being done. In fact, as my dad often says, musicians come and give somebody hope. Amen. Getting real close to being done. I think about Brother Bob. He went to Berkeley, University of Berkeley. Got his bachelor degree there. The guy's brilliant. He's just a brilliant guy. Then he went for his master's degree and graduated, I think it was in biochemistry or something to that effect. And for all intents and purposes, he's basically a scientist. He's just a brilliant man. And got a great job and was married. But I'm going to tell you something. There was something going on in Brother Bob's heart that said, surely there's got to be more. God began to stir him and began to say, come on, come up higher. Come up further. There's more for you. That's what I'm doing today. I'm just reaching for somebody. I'm not here to tear down what you've got. I'm not here to disparage your experience. But I have come to tell you that Jerusalem, which is above, is free. The Bible talks about Jerusalem. Every time you went, you would go up. And so Bob, he went to a church. They invited him to a church. Now this brilliant man, his master's degree and all this stuff and so on. He went to that church. And you know what they did? They didn't just tell him, you know, just, and I'm not being a smart aleck. They didn't just say, accept the Lord. They didn't just say, you know, shake the preacher's hand and you're saved. They didn't give him a small prayer to pray and say, that's all you need. I can tell by the smile on your face that you've accepted the Lord. That man would have left that place with just a despair in his heart. But you know what they did? They took Bob Lee and brought him all the way up to Jerusalem, a Jerusalem experience. That's what I'm trying to do to somebody today. In fact, I'm trying to do it to some saints of God that are in this place. And I felt the Holy Ghost moving. I saw you worshiping and praying. But I'm going to tell you, Jerusalem is not just a one-time experience. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he went up to Jerusalem in Galatians chapter 1. But he said, then 14 years later, listen, I don't know if you've been in church for 14 years or not, but don't get content to sit on that pew and not get a hold of Jerusalem. Paul, the apostle, said, you know what? It was 14 years later, and I took another trip up to Jerusalem, and I went up by revelation. I'd like to see somebody today get another trip to Jerusalem. How long has it been since you got totally lost and drunk in the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since you felt the power of Pentecost work all over you? I'm reaching for somebody. Listen, Jerusalem is above. It's powerful. It's glorious. Is there anybody that's thankful that you can go up to Jerusalem? I'd like us to lift our hands. I'd like us to stand to our feet right now. Come on, let's love the Lord together right now. There's a sweet touch of the Holy Ghost in this place. Oh, would you love the Lord with me? We're gonna pray in just a moment. I'm almost done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Bob Lee was in that church. This educated man man, well off, good job. But God began to stir him. And God began to beckon to him. And God began to reach for him. And as he sat in that church, Bob Lee said, you know what? A job's not enough and a career's not enough. Education is not high enough. And Bob Lee got up out of his chair and he walked down to an altar and he went back to Jerusalem in his repentance and he said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. God, wash me. And he moved up in the world. They told him, listen, man, that's not enough, though. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I think I would be doing you a disservice, a shortchanging you today, if I didn't just tell you, listen, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, you're with a bunch of people that know the power of that baptism. And I want to do like Peter did in Acts chapter 10. He commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you've never been baptized, you need to repent. But you also need to get baptized in Jesus' name. And Bob Lee was baptized in the name of Jesus. And then they told him, that's not all. Jerusalem includes a Holy Ghost tongue-talking experience. And that man lifted his hands like a bunch of you. In fact, how many of you have ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Won't you raise your hand? All across this place, hands lifted. He began to lift his hands. He had repented. And he told how the Spirit of God came on him. And he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave him the utterance as he took a trip up to Jerusalem. I just feel like God wants to take somebody up to Jerusalem today. I'm just reaching for you. Listen, if you're a young man, young ladies, elderly, child, whoever you are, it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what kind of denomination you come from. I'm not here to disparage any of that. I've just come to say, won't you come up to Jerusalem? If you've never repented of your sins, in just a moment, I'm going to open this altar. And I'm going to ask for you to come down to this altar and lift your hands and say, I'm sorry. If you've repented of your sins, I want to encourage somebody to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. If you've already been baptized, but you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in another language, that's what the Bible gives us over and over. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. I want to tell you today, that's part of Jerusalem. And right now, as the musicians begin to play and the church begins to pray, I'm going to open this altar right now. Is there anybody that would come to this front and say, God, I want to experience Pentecost. I want to experience Pentecost. Come on, as I begin to pray, I want everybody to come. If you've ever experienced it, you can experience it again. If you've already got the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost again. If you're here and you want the Holy Ghost, won't you come right on down to the front? There's people that'll pray with you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, won't you come, sir? Won't you come, ma'am? Amen, amen. We're going to sing in just a moment. But if you're next to somebody, won't you just say, come on with me. Come on down to this altar. I don't know how to do it justice today, but I want to just tell you, there is a place in God that God wants you to go. He's been reaching for you all your life. He's been pulling you and pulling you up and higher. And today, God wants to take you up to Jerusalem. So as you come down to this altar, won't you lift your hands? If you've never repented, begin by saying, I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, God. Wash me, God. If you've already done that, begin to praise him. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. As they begin to sing, I'm looking for somebody that'll praise God today. Oh, that's right. I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, is anybody glad for Pentecost? Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it. Why don't we just begin to lift our voice? Why don't we lift our hands? Amen. Why don't you go back to Pentecost? If you've got the Holy Ghost, why don't you get a renewing in the Holy Ghost? Oh, why don't you get a Holy Ghost renewing today? Oh, let's go back to Jerusalem. Sisters, lift your hands and lift your voice and let the Holy Ghost fall. Oh, yes, he comes. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. now.
You've got to be bold.
Let's experience Pentecost for a few minutes. Come on, let's talk in tongues. Just love him a little bit more. Let's press in the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Everything the devil has stolen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody, let's go up. We're going up.
Yeah.